Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Debbie and I are honored that you're here. We're humbled that you're here, and we're excited that you're here with us, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing to you and will bring glory to God. That's our desire. Friend, listen, it's not about anything else. This radio ministry is not about anything else but to bring glory to God. Our intention is to bring men to Christ and to build Christ in men. And friend, look, that's our goal. It certainly is. Hey, what a great season that it is. What a great season that it is as we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. Friend, I'll tell you what, for the believer, for a Christian, it just doesn't get any better than this. I've opened my Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 19 of the book of Luke, and I'm going to begin reading all along about verse 33 or 35, I think it is, and I'll read a few verses and share with you the message that I believe, the best I can discern, that God has laid on my heart. But before I do that, Debbie's got a song. The title of it is, Who Is This King? She's going to do for us, and my, what a wonderful song that it is. Listen, it has a Christmas idea to it, but listen, if you listen to it, it has a resurrection idea to it. So this is one the Lord has led me towards. You enjoy it. I'll be back with a message after she tells us about this king.
In the town that's called Bethlehem, so many years ago, there was a king that was born. He was born in a stable low, but most did not realize what had taken place. This king had
Man, I love that, friend. Listen, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Glory. Listen, friend, I'll tell you, we know him as Jesus. I know him as my Savior. And the question is, do you? I know him as my Lord. He wants to be yours. And he can be if you'll just put your trust and confidence in him. Friend, listen, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm going to begin reading in chapter 19 of the book of Luke's Gospel. Chapter 19 of the book of Luke, the book of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 35. And the Bible said they brought him to Jesus. Now this is referring to the cult that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the C-O-L-T. I may not be pronouncing that as clearly as I would like, but he was riding the cult that this is referring to the cult that Jesus rode in on. And they cast their garments upon the cult, and they sat Jesus thereupon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And when he was come near, he beheld the city, meaning Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And for the days that shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even under the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, that thou knowest not, cause thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." I'm going to talk to you a little while today about a great day in Israel. If there was ever a great day in Israel, there were many, friend. I'm telling you, I could list them. I could spew them out to a certain degree and couldn't exhaust the list, but I could make reference to several. This day when Jesus, in fulfillment of the Word of God, came riding into the city of Jerusalem, presenting Himself as the King, as the promised King, the prophesied King. I'm telling you, friend, the circumstances of this day, the people that we are introduced to this day, it's a remarkable day in many, many ways. It's one, friend, to consider. It's one to be standing in awe of. It's one to understand, friend, that the hand of God is working mightily on this day. God is doing something amazing, friend, as He sends His Son that came into this world through a virgin's womb into the city that bore His name as the King, as the Master, not as a victim, not, friend, not as someone that's out of touch or out of control, but of one, friend, who is as kingly as he ever could be, born a king, died a king, lived a king, is coming a king, is the King, friend. We find Him here this day in these circumstances on a remarkable day in the history of the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, as Jesus comes in to look. Friend, as I already said, made reference to, it was a day when great prophecy was fulfilled. I'm telling you, this day marks a remarkable day. A day that a man by the name of Daniel had prophesied about. Prophesied with such specificity, friend, that it's undeniable how that on this day, just like Jesus said, if thou hadst known this thy day, God had given them indication. God had given them reason. God had given them His Word. God had sent it through prophets, through the mouths of men. Words that they could understand. Words that they could search out. Words, friend, that would point them clearly to the coming of their Messiah, to the coming of the Anointed One, to the coming of their King, to the coming of their Deliverer, to the coming of their Savior. What a remarkable passage of Scripture this is. It fulfilled one of the greatest prophecies in the book of Daniel 9:25. I believe it is, as Daniel lifts up and makes statement of his 70 weeks of prophecy. Even in the day of Nehemiah, when Artaxerxes made a decree that Nehemiah could go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Do you know that marked the period of time when the prophetic clock of God would begin to click? And listen, friend. 69 of those years, 69,483 years of Daniel's prophecy have been fulfilled, have passed, have been completed to the very day. And listen, friend, there's another week that's yet to come to pass, and it will before too long. Oh, we need to get ready. We need to stay ready. It was a day, friend, a great day in Israel when the prophecy of Daniel was fulfilled as their king came in, as Zechariah said that he would, 9:9, meek and lowly, sitting upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And let me tell you something. Kings rode on mules. Listen, when he comes the next time, friend, as a warrior, when he comes next time, thank God, to reign and to rule, not to die, not to give his life, but when he comes, friend, to reign and rule, he'll come on a white stallion. But here, in great regal royalty, he enters into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a colt. Isn't that amazing? On the back of a colt. Prophecy was not only being fulfilled, but prophecy was being proclaimed in verses 41 through 44. As Jesus said, oh, listen, the days shall come up upon thee. No wonder he wept. No wonder, friend, he wept. Not just shed tears, but he wailed, if you allow me to say it that way. And that's exactly what the word confers, what the word defined means. Jesus wailed when he looked across the Kedron Valley, down from the Mount Olivet that he was traveling down, across Kedron, up Mount Moriah into that city where he had placed his name upon planet Earth, out of which he was to be known. Oh, he wept when he understood what was going to come to pass in a few years, about what was it, either 30 or 40 years from the day Jesus, or the year that Jesus died, was crucified, buried, and resurrected, when he knew that the Romans, under the leadership of Titus, would come in, build a trench around that city, and listen, race it to the ground, when over 600,000 Jews themselves would be slain, when the diaspora would begin. That still lingers in our world today. Oh, friend, it was a great day in the day of the city of Jerusalem. Now I want you to know something, friend. This day marks a confluence of things. I mean to tell you, listen, it was no accident. Hey, I know the word confluence has to do with a river when rivers meet, but I want you to know rivers of time met here, rivers of prophecy met here, rivers of God's promises and plan have met right here. This day when Jesus, friend, when Jesus, that virgin-born Son of Mary, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, that misunderstood carpenter's son, the son of Joseph the carpenter, when he came, he was a stepson of him, by the way, when he came riding in to Jerusalem, while the crowd was hailing him, and while they were crying out prophetic word, Hosanna! Boy, I'll tell you what, there were things that come together. God had orchestrated this. God had planned this. God had put this into place. There was not only a confluence of things, but there was a great contrast of things. Isn't that amazing? We had a crowd, friend, here this day that were praising him and lauding him and remembering the great works that he done. They were lifting their voices up, and had they been silent, the stones would have cried out. You say, why? Well, Jesus often, when he did miracles, told people, now you don't tell anybody about this. You keep it a hush-hush. Hey, he never publicly tried to promote himself and to present himself as the Messiah. But on this day, friend, listen, on this day, he said, light of day, these people would hold their peace. The stones would cry out. You say, why? It must be known that he is the King that was promised, the King that had come. And oh, it was a great day of that day in the city of Jerusalem, in the nation of Israel. The contrast is one crowd praising him and lauding him, and another one saying, keep him quiet. One crowd wanted to crown him with a crown of gold. Another crowd, friend, listen, would want to crown him with thorns. Oh, what a day of contrast that it was, but it's also a day of consummation of things. Listen, I've already said this in some degree under the confluence of things. Hey, listen, friend, God means what He says. I mean, to tell you, when His Word says something, it means what it says. Hey, listen, friend, we can trust the Word of God. We may not understand it. We may not be able to perceive the depths and the breadth of its truth. But can I tell you, listen, friend, if God says something, sir, ma'am, we can take it to the bank. We can trust in it. Well, let me get on with the message. First, I want you to note something. I want you to note the coming. Hey, I've already mentioned it's the coming of a king. Zechariah prophesied about that in his prophecy in chapter 9, verse 9. It's as clear as it can be. I don't have time to do this, but I'll tell you what, you would invest some good effort and good time if you would look at his prophecy and see what is given here and see what is eliminated here. Oh, there are some things that Zechariah said would happen that didn't happen on this day. And yet, for it was to a degree a fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. It did fit that he spoke in chapter 9, verse 9 of that great book that great man of God wrote. But oh, friend, listen. Oh, it's going to be completely fulfilled in a day that's yet to come. Truly, this was the King of Jerusalem. Truly, this was the Son of David. Truly, this was the one that was to sit upon the throne of his father David and rule in a kingdom, friend, listen, over which would have no end. It was a great coming of a great king. But it was also, listen, friend, a time when we can talk about how the control. Do you know, listen, friend, that Jesus was always in control? I mean, to tell you, Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we who are saved might receive the adoption of sons. I didn't get that exactly right. But I want you to know this king, friend, that was riding a colt, bless God, that was being surrounded and followed and preceded by a crowd that cried, Hosanna! I want you to know that he was in control. He was in control of his faculties. He was in control, I believe, of the crowd. He was in control of the day, of the hour. He was in total control, friend. You see, listen, it was his time. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you through the book of John, he said, mine hour is not yet come. Now, I know the hour that he's talking about, but this is part of it too, friend. This is part of it true. Hey, they said, listen, we want to kill him. We want to crucify him. We want to rid ourselves of him, but we're not going to do it on the feast day. We're not going to do it on the Pentecost or on the Passover. But you know what? Because he was king, because he was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world, because of Jesus, our Passover was sacrificed for us. Guess what day they took him? And by the way, do you know that he was so much in control that it was on this day? I'm about to get real happy, and I already am. It was on this day, I bless God, in Israel, when they chose. Do you know this? It's the day that they chose the lamb that was to be slain on the day of the Passover offering. Oh, friend, there's no accidents with God. There is no accident with God. Listen, he was in complete control. His purpose was being set forth. I mean to tell you, his people were being ministered to. And his prophecy, as I've already said, was being fulfilled. And I want you to know, if you will, I want you to know, friend, if you will, this completion of an amazing prophecy. I don't have time to get into this. If you read the book of Nehemiah, chapters 1 and 2, if you read the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and look at the verse 25 and 6 and 7, you'll see some remarkable things. You can see, friend, listen, how that blessed God, how the King had come, how the anointed one, the prophesied one, how Yeshua HaMashiach was in control, and that He would soon be cut off for His people. I want you to know, friend, listen, bless God, this very day, as I've already said, I got a little ahead of myself a while ago, I was emphasized because it was prescribed by God. Now I want you to notice the crowd. Well, I'll tell you what, there was a company rejoicing. I've already said that too. They were crying, Hosanna. How they were crying, save us now. Hey, listen, they were looking for a deliverer. How about He came a different deliverer than what they were looking for? They wanted to be delivered from the oppressive hand of Rome. But He was come to deliver them from the oppressive hand of sin and Satan himself. And oh, friend, listen, although they didn't know all about Him, they were honestly, fully and completely rejoicing over Him. How beautiful this is. How beautifully God was controlling this for His glory and His honor. How there was a company complaining. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the way that it always is? I mean, to tell you, they were critics, were they not? Hush, Jesus. Get them to hush. Hey, Jesus, tell them to be quiet. They're disturbing things. They're upsetting me. Oh, Jesus, can you not control the crowd? I'll tell you, friend, listen, not everybody wants the Word of God. Not everybody believes the Word of God. Not everybody honors and loves the Word of God. They wanted, listen, friend, to foil God's Word. They wanted to quiet the crowd. And they, no doubt, in my mind, were crying out themselves. Haven't noticed the company, friend, how they continued to cry. Hey, friend, listen, we ought to be crying glory to God today. We ought to be crying, thank You for Your salvation, for Your Son, for securing us, oh, for saving us, for sealing us, and for keeping us. Oh, we ought to cry out today with praise and thanksgiving to God Almighty. But I want you to notice the concern. Man, it produced consternation, did it not? When Jesus began to look at the crowd. Now, I know it didn't produce fear in Him, but it produced deep concern in Him. I know that they were concerned about Him riding into the city. He was concerned about that too. But oh, listen to me, friend. He wept over that city. He wept when He understood what He knew would happen in just a short few years. Hey, listen, friend. You know, this thing ends at Calvary. There was a concern. It created a consternation in the heart of Jesus about the judgment that God was going to bring upon that city that rejected Him and was soon to crucify Him. But I want you to know, the thing didn't end here. I'm telling you, there was a continuation. This is just a way and a means. Or this is just part of the way and the means that Jesus would get to Calvary. He knew that there would be a cross. He knew, friend, that just beyond this day, when they were crying Hosanna to Him, He knew that just beyond this day, and that crowds were thronging Him again, surrounding Him, preceding Him, following Him into the city that bore His name. He knew that just ahead there was a cross, but He knew beyond that, thank God, there was a crown. He looked beyond. He looked beyond what He had to endure. The Bible said, what did it say in the book of Hebrews? He said this, He endured the cross, despised the shame. And you said, how could He do that, friend? He said, because He looked at the glory that was set before Him. How wonderful that it is. He was able to endure the hurt. He was able to endure the humiliation. He was able to endure all that God, friend, was going to place upon him. And all he did it for me and you, sir. He did it for me and you, man. It was a great day in Israel that day when the king came riding in. I could even use the word triumphantly, although I believe that'll be fulfilled in a day yet to come. But all, do you know him? You can have a triumphant day today. You can have a great day in your life if you just recognize him as King, as Lord. But more than that, as Savior. He came to be, he can be, he wants to be, he will be if you'll just surrender to him. Tell him that you're a sinner. Tell him that you're wanting to be saved. Tell him that you believe he died for you at Calvary and that you'll serve him if he'll save you. And you know what he'll do? He'll do that very thing. Hey, freedom's a great day. Make it yours today.
You are my Savior.
Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.